Our text for this second Sunday after Christmas is taken from the second letter of St. Peter. We will read from the first chapter, and we will read the first 15 verses of that chapter. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, where we read in the name of our Lord. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, once again we thank you for your word. Keep us steadfast in the same, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Auld Lang Syne, what a bunch of garbage. I mean, that's like the goofiest thing you can ever imagine. A bunch of drunks sitting around crying about the year past. So what? It shows exactly how goofed up we are. Auld Lang Syne is nothing. Days gone past. So what? There's tons of them. What are we going to remember? See, that's really the key, and that's what St. Peter is really talking about. What are we going to remember? And how are we going to remember those things? St. Peter says very clearly, he wants us to understand one thing. He's going to put us in remembrance of something. He says he wants us to remember something. It's so crucial to him that he says, I'm going to die soon. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm going to die soon. He says, the Lord has made it plain to me I'm going to die soon. And of course, he's right. He did. He would be martyred in Rome not too long, probably after writing this epistle. He says, I know that I'm going to die soon. He says, so what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to talk about? What am I supposed to say to you? What he says is exactly what we read in the opening of this epistle. He says, this is what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to be diligent all the days that I have left. He says, I'm going to diligently remind you of this. He says, and it's not that you don't know it. He says, it's not something that you don't know. He says, it's something that you know. He says, you know this very clearly. But he says, but I am going to spend the last days, all my breath, he says, I'm going to spend this reminding you. I'm going to remind you of this. That you would be constantly mindful of this, not auld lang syne. Not days gone by. As a matter of fact, he says, the best thing that you can ever do is put those days gone by out of your head. We are not people who dwell in auld lang syne. We are people who dwell in a constant present. We are people who live. And it's the summons to living that Peter gives us here. Peter gives us the summons to living because he knows that he's going to die, but he recognized very clearly that he's not going to die. He's just putting off his old address, and he's going to gain a new one. And so he isn't concerned about the auld lang syne. He isn't concerned about what is past. He says, as a matter of fact, that doesn't have any impact for him. And he doesn't want it to have any impact for the people that he's writing this epistle to. Because what he wants them to remember is, even as he says, you have obtained exactly the same thing that I have obtained. He says, each of you has obtained exactly what I, as an apostle to the Lord Jesus Christ, the guy that hung out with Jesus, the guy that spent all this time with Jesus, the guy who's going to Rome to be martyred, he says, you have obtained exactly what I have obtained. He says, there's no distinction between us at all in this regard. He says, you have exactly the same precious faith, he calls it, that you share with us. He says, you have, actually what this says in Greek, you have a lot, or you have received by lot, a faith of equal value with us by the act of being declared just of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, so grace and peace are multiplied to you by the knowledge of God and in Jesus our Lord. He says, this is what has happened. Now you tell me something in your past that's worth remembering like that. Auld Lang Syne is stupid. It's one of the stupidest songs ever written. And we sit around and we sing this thing and everybody gets a tear in their eye and it's like, gag me with a spoon. It's time to grow up. We are not people who dwell looking back over our shoulder. We don't live that way. We can't live that way. Nobody can live that way. We live as people who recognize an inheritance that has been given us by grace through the finished work of Jesus the Christ. That now, understanding this, this is how we think. When we face a new year, we don't sit there and say, oh yeah, January the 1st, everything changed. Give me a break. All that happened is we did something with the calendar year, that's all. We flipped the calendar, that's all. We didn't do anything. My gosh, what we get is Marie Osmond coming on and telling you how you can lose 50 pounds. That's what we get. You know, it's like, come on. There's got to be more to this. There's got to be something of greater value to all of this. And there is. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. You have exactly what St. Peter had. You are the delight of your God. He looks upon you with constant favor, a favor that he gave to you when he sent his Son to enter into this world to become us, full of grace. From his fullness we have all received. He doesn't say from his little bit of stuff we've each received a little piece. He says from his fullness, from his fullness, from the entirety of everything that he is, he says, we have received grace from his fullness. And he says, you have grace. He says, grace and peace are multiplied to you because you know this, because you know who Jesus is. He says, because you know who Jesus is, he says, this grace, this peace is multiplied to you because what he has done is astonishing. What he says, I had to make up a word when I translated this because we don't even have a word that fits this in English. What he says is, as all things to us of his Godful power, and that's actually what this word means in Greek, and there is no English word Godful. I made that up. The fact of the matter is that that's what he says, though. It's from his Godful power, the fullness of who he is as God is what this means. He says, that is the things concerning life and godliness. Life and godliness he has gifted through the knowledge of the one who called us for his own praise and virtue. He gave us this. He gave us from the Godfulness. He gave us from the fullness of everything that he had. He gifted us with this so that by this knowledge, that this is how we would then live. We would live in praise of God for what he has done and acknowledging his virtue, in other words, his moral goodness, that God looked upon us and chose to be gracious to us. Auld Lang Syne, give me a break. How dumb. The reality of things is, I ain't looking back at nothing, and pardon me for the ain't, Judy, but the reality of things is that there's nothing to look back there for. There's only the understanding of Jesus the Christ, the constant present, the constant realization that here we are now in this moment, and we don't know that we have tomorrow. None of us does. St. Peter says, God told me I'm going to die. He doesn't like get bent out of shape and say, well, oh man, now I got to go see Mount Everest or something. You know, he says, not that he even knew where that was. But the fact of the matter is that this is the type of thing that we get so carried away with, of thinking that we have so much to do in life, instead of understanding, well, no, everything has been done for us in life. We are given to live it. To live it in the finished work of Jesus Christ. All things from his Godful power have been given to us. He says everything concerning life and godliness. Now you recognize right away, and I always do this, what part of everything is not everything? He gave us everything, everything, then what part did he leave out? That's right, nothing. There is no part of everything that is left out. That's how we are to live. Recognizing the finished work of Jesus Christ, that's how we are to live. He says, through which he has gifted to us the valuable and greatest promises, so that through these we would become sharers in common in the Godful nature. We have become sharers in common You know, in here in the King James, it says that ye might be partakers of the divine nature. This is not a might. It says that you are partakers of this, that you would understand this, so that now you are a partaker of the Godful nature. You have been restored to your status that you once possessed in Adam and Eve when they were first created. And even the scripture refers to Adam as son of God. You have been restored to being the offspring of God, so that we would understand now we are the offspring of God. So that he says, you have become a sharer in this Godful nature. You have been restored to what was lost by the fall. And he says, having gotten safely away from the subjection to mortality, which is death, you escaped it. He says, having gotten away from the subjection to mortality in the world, in desire. He says, because that's the way the world lives. It lives with this constant desire to escape death, that somehow or another, for four easy payments of $19.99, you can escape death, that somehow or another, you can have meals delivered to your door and Dan Marino will show up, for crying out loud, that you can do all these sort of things, that somehow or another, that's going to give you life. No, that gives you auld lang syne, because you sit there and you look at that and you eat the meals and you don't become Marie Osmond. Because that's slop in comparison to what we have. What we have is we have been made partakers of the Godful nature. We have been joined to God in Jesus Christ. So that understanding this, we have been released from death. We are no longer subject to it. And that's why St. Peter said, Jesus told me I'm going to die. He said, but I'm not going to die. He said, Jesus told me that I'm going to die. In other words, my time of putting off the old tent is going to come, but I'm not going to die. He says, I just get a new tent. I get a better one. He says, I get a complete one. I get the full deal. He says, what do I care about the old tent? Auld Lang Syne? How dumb. Old tent. I'm going to spend my time in the old tent, longing for the old tent. He says to understand very clearly, the world and all of its desire has been taken away. You're no longer subject to its mortality. Its end is death. It cannot escape it. But he says, but you have escaped it. You have escaped it. You are no longer part of it. You are part of God through Jesus the Christ. And he says, now, he says, so what do you do? How do you live? You live your life recounting your sins. Wrong. That's right. Wrong. But that is how we live our lives, recounting our sins. We sit around, you know, beating ourselves a little bit, thinking that now I'm being really religious. As long as I beat myself up for my sins at least a little bit, then that's going to make God pay attention to what's going on with me. The God who says, I don't even remember your sins anymore. Now, how goofy do you think God thinks that is? If we sit around beating ourselves up over our sin that God says he doesn't even remember anymore, don't you think that's kind of dumb? Yeah, it is. It's not kind of dumb. I shouldn't say that. You know, we say that stuff all the time, kind of this. No, it's just outright dumb. It just makes no sense whatsoever. And that's exactly what he says. He says, you're not going to spend your time doing that. If you know who Jesus Christ is, you aren't going to spend your time beating yourself up over past sins. You're not going to beat yourself over the past because, as a matter of fact, you've been released from it. You're not subject to it anymore. You're not subject to its mortality. You don't need to be. As a matter of fact, Now, he says, what you really need to do is to supply your faith. He says, supply your faith. Give your faith the supply it needs. He says, with virtue, which is moral goodness, means to stand up for the right thing. He says, you supply your faith with virtue, with moral goodness. He says, you supply your virtue with knowledge. He says, the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, you supply your knowledge with self-control. In other words, you don't get caught up in the auld lang syne thing. He says, you know who you are. You live according to the understanding of who you are in Jesus Christ. He says, you supply your self-control with endurance, because now that gives you the ability to suffer with the world. You're not just screaming at the TV set. You know, you understand right away that you can see the foolishness of the world. But the foolishness of the world doesn't cause you to lose your self-control, but rather to understand all the more. It immerses you in the same. It drives you to compassion. It drives you to love. We all, you know, we watch those St. Jude commercials, and I turn to my wife every time. I say, man, those kids are so cute. Those kids are just so cute. Your heart just bleeds for them. But does your heart bleed the same way for the guy doing the evening news? Because God's heart does. That we turn and understand every person before our Lord, was worthy of the sending of his Son. We supply our hearts with this endurance of the world. We endure it because we recognize its pain. But rather than curse it, we're sent into it to save it, to save it, to free it. And he says, our endurance we supply with godliness. He says, the godliness that was given us by becoming partakers of the divine nature. He says, godliness we supply with brotherly love, that we love one another. We love the world the way that God loves the world. And brotherly love we supply with selfless love. St. Peter says that's what we do, not auld lang syne. We don't face the new year looking back at the old one and thinking, boy, I wish this would have been better or some other thing would have happened or something like that. He says we don't live that way because we live in a constant present. We live in a constant present of understanding that we are always with our God. We are always safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God keeps us and sustains us. So that day in and day out, we know who we are. We are the children of God. We're the children of God. And we have a message. We have something to tell people. Your God loves you. As a matter of fact, he loves you abundantly. He loves you abundantly. He doesn't care if you're an idiot. He doesn't care if you're not the brightest person in the world. He doesn't care if you have the wrong politics. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about any of that. All he cares about is you. He cares about you. He saves you. And he wants you to know that. He wants you to know that above all things. That he's absolutely in love with you. He's totally smitten with you. He is so in love with you that he gave you Jesus. So that through Jesus you would live, that you would live, that you would not just live here, but you would live forever, that you would live in a constant present, that you would be a partaker of the divine nature. And he says this so that we would understand this. He says, for if these things are in you and growing, if your life is focused on that positive direction of living in that way through Jesus Christ, he says, then, he says, you'll never be lazy or unproductive. He says, as a matter of fact, what's going to happen is God is going to instill you with his spirit, and by the power of his spirit, you're always going to be productive. He's always going to be at work with you because you're not going to be spending all your time looking back on your past and thinking what a miserable person you are. Instead, your eyes are going to be focused on Jesus. And you're going to realize what a delight he is. And what a powerful and amazing thing it is to be saved. That by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been cleansed from all unrighteousness, and you are at peace with God. And you are going to realize that. And as you grow in that, you are never going to be lazy or unproductive. He says, because you're going to be steeped in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, for the one with whom these things aren't present, he says, for those who spend their time in auld lang syne, he says, this one is short-sighted. He says, so short-sighted that they're blind. He says, because they have forgotten the cleansing of their old sins. He says, they've forgotten, as the King James says it, that they've been purged from their old sins. And that's why the church is full of mopers. It's full of mopey people. Sit around moping all the time. Mope, 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 mope. We're moping all the time. Mope, 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 mope. We hope that the next day could be better. The next day could be better. Could be better. Mope, 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 mope. But tomorrow will be better. No. No. It's time to stop moping. That's just schlock. It's not religious. It's not healthy. It doesn't do anybody any good, and it doesn't do you any good. It makes you a miserable person. Misery loves company, but it still stinks to high heaven. The reality of things is that, as he says here, you have forgotten a very, very important thing. You have been purged from all of your old sins. You've been purged. You know what purge means? Purge means that it's all come out. You know, many of us have gotten the flu and we have purged. You know, and you understand what I mean. Up it goes. You're purged. You're purged. You don't have that anymore. It's gone. He says, you've been purged of your old sins. You've been purged. You don't have them anymore. He says, if you live dwelling in that old past, he says, you've forgotten. He says, you've forgotten the most important thing. He says, you've forgotten that you've been purged. You're short-sighted. So short-sighted, he says, that you're blind. You've forgotten the cleansing of your old sins. You're cleansed. As we read today, we heard the reading today from Ephesians to understand, well, what has happened? Well, you've been released from all of your old sins. You're free. You're holy in the sight of God. You're blameless in the sight of God. Blameless. Now, I want you to understand that, because I'm going to be a little like St. Peter. I'm retiring this year. I'm not dying, but I'm retiring. And I want you to understand one thing. The one thing I'm going to remind you of is you have been purged from your old sins, so quit being mopey. You've been purged from your old sins. God is not holding anything against you. He has nothing against you. He doesn't have anything against you. What's going on in your life, if you have struggles or things going on, that's not God sitting up there saying, ha, ha, you know, I knew I'd give them that and then see what they do with it. That's nuts. That is not the way God is. You are free through the blood of Jesus Christ to live. You live in freedom through Jesus Christ. You live. The suffering of this world is brought on by the fall. And that's the way that is. And suffering comes upon us, there's no doubt about it. And I'm not making light of suffering. But we understand right away, even when we suffer, that is not God trying to make us do something or some awful thing like that. Because if that was the case, then guess what? I would have never taken a breath. Because if God was out to get me, it would have been all over. The reality of things is God is not out to get us at any point. God already got us by sending his son into the world to save us, to renew us, to give us a new life. And he says very clearly, he says, you've forgotten. If you go back in that past garbage, you've forgotten. You've forgotten something very, very significant. He says, you've forgotten. You've been purged. You're cleansed from your old sins. God isn't sitting there waiting for you to come to the point of, oh, now if I remember one more sin, then God will let off on this and I can win the lottery. You know, if I just do this, you know, then God will do this. No. You're purged from your old sins. He's gracious. He's gracious to you because he loves you. And he says, for this reason, even more, he says, fellow believers, he says, be diligent to do as reliable your calling and choosing. For doing these things, you'll certainly never trip up ever. He says, you keep moving forward. He says, you keep moving forward and you'll never trip up. You hold on to Jesus Christ. You'll never trip up. He says, the grace of God will preserve you all the way through this and you will never trip up. You're always going to be found in this way. And he says, for in this way richly will be supplied to you the way of entry into our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's eternal kingdom. He says, you're going to be supplied freely, a free entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said. You're going to be supplied freely an entrance into this kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're going to be supplied freely, freely an entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Happy New Year. So that we would understand. That we would get our minds around this and understand very clearly. This is the work of God in Jesus Christ. It's fulfilled. It's done. It's done. So that you would understand who you are in Jesus Christ and you would live in that way. You would live in that way in this world. And Peter says, that's what I'm going to do. He says, I'm always going to put you in remembrance of these things. He says, I'm always going to remind you about all of these things. He says, even though you know them, he says, you know them. He says, I'm going to constantly remind you. He says, it's going to be like a constant beating of a drum. He says, I'm going to remind you all the time. Remind you, remind you, remind you. He says, now, I consider it just, as long as I'm in this tent, to rouse you up in reminder. He says, and I think that's the right thing to do. He says, that's exactly the right thing that I should do. He says, is constantly remind you of this. He says, seeing that putting off of my tent is coming quickly, just as also the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. So I'll be diligent also at any time you have after my way of exit. He says, after I'm dead. Gotta love this. It's like voting in Chicago. He says, I will constantly remind you after my death. He says, I'm going to constantly remind you after my death. He says, to remember these things. He says that when you think of me as St. Peter, when you think of St. Peter, he says, don't think about St. Peter. He says, you think about these things. You understand very clearly that you have been purged from your old sins, that you are a child of God, that you have an entry into the kingdom of God's Son. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been brought in a new and more noble way, and that now you may live in that way. You live in that way. And that's what this world needs to see. I hate to tell you, it doesn't need to see more mopey religious people. It needs to see people who honestly believe what they teach. That honestly believe what they say. That honestly believe that Jesus matters. That what he does really matters. That what he did really did happen. That he did honestly free us of our sins so that we could live without that concern. So that in this life we would understand very clearly that people out there would see and know that the gospel is real. That the gospel really does concrete things in the life of a human being. And it makes it possible for us to live, not just dragging our sorry carcass through another day or another year, but coming to the point of realizing that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are not simply sorry carcasses. We are the living children of God, filled with the Spirit of God, who possessing the Spirit of God have the ability to live to the fullness, because the fullness of God is given to us by grace, and we have become partakers of the fullness. We're full. We are filled by God and by His Holy Spirit. My goodness, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say. I can't tell you how frustrating this garbage is, because it's Antichrist. It's Antichrist that comes in and takes this away. It's Antichrist that turned people to this stupidity of thinking that somehow or another, by moping over their sins, they can somehow be better Christians. My goodness, I don't know how. It's like I used to tell my tennis players, I think sometime somebody left out a pile of stupid pills on the bench and you thought they were vitamins. You know, when it comes to this point, I don't understand it at all. I don't understand it at all. We're so selfish, so narcissistic. We've lost the whole sense of the purpose of our existence. So we sit around yelling at politicians and the TV. It's absurd. We're the children of God. And we live in a constant present where there is no darkness, where there is only light. And the light of God gives us life. We live life. I live. I hate to tell you, I live. I do not spend my days in fear of death. Or fear of some other thing coming down the pike. My gosh, there's so much garbage to come down the pike. I'd spend my life ducking the whole time. Paul says, I die daily. He doesn't mean some religious thing by that. We've tried to turn that into something religious. He says very clearly, he says, I die daily. He says, because I don't know if when I walk out the door, if some of my enemies are going to have me arrested and beaten to death. He says, I don't know if Roman soldiers are going to show up and beat me to death. Because I don't know what's going to happen when I walk out the door. He says, but I walk out the door. Because I know that God's grace is sufficient for me. And if the day should come that he calls me home and it's time to put off the tent. I don't know if you're like me, when we were kids, we used to sleep outside, you know. We wanted to sleep outside and we'd buy a new tent, you know. Buy a new tent, you go outside and you're like, it's waterproof. Yeah, sure, it's waterproof. You get outside there, you know, you're out there as a kid, you put up that tent, you're like, oh, you know, you're just waiting for a thunderstorm to come. Oh, it's going to be waterproof. And then the soaked kid shows up sleeping on the porch, you know. They tell you, don't touch the sides of it. Don't touch the sides of it, because, boy, you're going to get wet. No, don't know what waterproof meant to them. I had a different idea of what waterproof was. I thought there wouldn't be any water in there. That's what the old tent's like. Doesn't have any guarantees. Paul is not lamenting over the old tent when he says, I die daily. Peter is not lamenting over the old tent when he says, I'm going to put on the new tent. We have put on the new tent. We're already alive in the new tent. We're already existing in the new tent through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been purged from our old sins. There is no remembrance of them any longer. Peter says, every day until I die, I'm going to remind you of this so that you will remember, that you will remember, so that when I'm dead, you will still remember. You will still remember well past my death that you have been purged from your old sins so that you can go out and do good. Go out and do good. There's nothing wrong with that. Go into your world and do good. Go into your world and be good to people. Do good. Do good. Because people need to see us doing good. If we can do good, we don't know how many hearts we can change. But maybe we can change one. And maybe that's all it takes. Change one. Change one. Give one person hope. Testify to one person the goodness of God. Let them know. Let them know that they're loved and needed and respected. My dad used to talk about this all the time. I know this is getting long, but I don't really care. I'm retiring. My dad used to say this all the time. My parents ran an orphanage when they were younger for the state of New York. They ran an orphanage. My dad used to see all these broken kids, and you'll have to excuse me if I start crying, because my dad would start crying all the time over those kids. See these broken little kids. They would truck them into that place, because that's just the way it was, and they didn't know any better. They'd just truck those little kids into there. Broken little kids. Whose families were just a mess. And they were deserted. My dad would talk about it all the time. How it was on those visitation days. When these kids would just sit there and wait, and they would just hope that one of their parents would come. That one of their parents would actually care enough to show up. That one of them would come. He said, you know, Jay, I spent those, they were always on Sunday. He says, I spent every Sunday night in the bedrooms of those kids next to their beds with them crying, just trying to comfort them, just trying to find some way to comfort them. He said, you know, it just ate me up. It ate me up. He says, it just ate me up. But that was the one thing that I wanted to do. The one thing that I wanted to be able to do was comfort each one of those kids. He says, and I couldn't go to bed at night until I had got each of those kids settled down, until I had gotten them settled down. If we can grab one broken kid, if we can grab one broken life, if we can do for one person, what we are equipped to do by the grace of God, if we can bring healing to one person, if we leave one person with understanding that God is great and God is good, that God loves them and lift them from the brokenness, then we have done exactly what we have been sent to do. We can't do that if we're constantly looking back on our old sins and moping. The only way we can do that is by recognizing the change that has been given to each and every one of us through Jesus Christ our Lord, and to realize what it means to live in that new life by grace, and to minister grace to that broken heart. And I'm not just talking about children, because there's a lot of older people who have very broken hearts, very, very broken hearts. Who simply need to know the truth that God loves them. And He gave them Jesus in order to give them life, and that they would have life without end. St. Peter says, I'm going to remind you of this every day till I die. He says, and even after my death, he says, I'm going to remind you of this. I'm going to remind you of this. So that you live. So that you live. You live. How sweet the sound. We live. So happy New Year. We live. For Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we live. You reign and we live. Father, we pray that you would kindle in us that same spirit that we've heard from St. Peter, that we would be relentless in our faith and relentless in your grace. So we would engage your world with the beautiful words of the gospel, that this marvelous transition would take place from going from the old kingdom of death and being brought into that bright, beautiful kingdom of your beloved Son. We pray, Father, that you would give us the fullness of that understanding. Come to your world again, Father, in us and through us, and mend broken hearts. Bring your restoration, Father, and bring your peace. Today, Father, we come to your supper once again. No better way to begin the new year. We pray, Father, that you would mend us. Feed us and strengthen us with your body and blood of your Son. That we would know the fullness of the Godful nature of which we are now partakers through the blood of Jesus Christ. And filled with that understanding that we would come, and then we would go. That your world, your beloved world, would see the gospel in us. These things we pray, Father, in the name of Him who freely gave Himself for us, that in all things your name would be hallowed and glorified for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.